Welcome to Voices
Love
of Freedom.
Talk Radio.
Well, happy hallelujah. I spelled achieving wrong. That's what my lesson title was. Achieving Perfection in Christ. Now, when I first saw that, I thought, man, that don't even post stuff like that because people shouldn't even be thinking that we can be that. But anyway, I just want to go through some verses and give you some thoughts on it and kind of see where you're at on it. So don't know, you know, how it'll play out or really what the verses are myself. They just caught my eye and I thought, wow, that's interesting. It's a good study. So we're just going to jump in and we're going to see something. And it says that the word perfect, as the Bible uses it, of men does not refer to sinless perfection. Well, there's a good thing. Amen. Because we're not sinless perfection, because we're all born sinners, right? Born with a sin nature, carrying that sin around, easily besetting us, Paul says. It just easily sidetracks us. And even after we're saved, we've got to keep that prayer life open, or that prayer line to Jesus open. We've got to be quick to confess our own sins to God, and sometimes to confess our sins to each other if I do something wrong to you. And I'm always excited in a way when somebody accuses you of something, because, you know, sometimes it's an opportunity to make a friend. Sometimes it's an opportunity to kind of see who you're dealing with. And either way, it's an opportunity. So something to be thought about today. But the word perfection, as the Bible uses it, of men, does not mean sinless perfection. Old Testament characterize it as perfect, but not obviously sinless. And there's a bunch of verses here that we can compare it to, even back into the book of Job. So although the Hebrew and the Greek words are translated perfect, the thought is usually either completeness, all in detail, right, or to reach a goal or achieve a purpose. So we're going to walk through a little bit of the three steps, okay, or the three stages of perfection that you and I could hope to attain. And the first one is positional perfection. Guess what? I told you a few weeks ago about the 40 free gifts you got when you got saved. Well, let me tell you what you get here. You have positional perfection the moment you get saved. That can be referenced there in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. Do you ever stop and think about that? Positional perfection. Now, what does that mean? That means that somebody, our God, is going to reach down and take you and put you in a position that you do not deserve. Grace, in a one-word definition or a two-word definition, is unmerited favor. Okay? And that's about what this positional word is, okay? Positional perfection. When the Lord looks at me, he looks at me just like I've never sinned. When he looks at me, he sees the blood of Jesus blotting out all my sins. When he looks at me, he sees someone who is in a royal priesthood. He sees somebody that has got this magnificent power that he didn't have before because the Holy Spirit of God is living inside of him. So do you realize something that's super cool right here? We didn't do anything to earn this. So number one, if I don't do anything and something fantastic happens to you, guess what you end up getting out of this? Okay? You end up getting something really pretty spectacular out of this. Okay? And what you get, we ought to be thankful for. We're not thankful for anything. I tell you, I had a little bit of a fantastic day. Lots of good things happened. And I was just, man, I just was thankful to God all the way through, really, I guess, the last couple of days. You know, just the plan, just the relaxation, I guess you might say, in Jesus at this point. And you say, relaxation? Listen, if you try to keep up the standard of the world, if you try to do the things that the world wants you to do, I mean, it's crazy. So there's your number one. You've got a positional situation going on with the Lord, because of everything Jesus has done. You don't deserve anything. Nothing. Death is what the wages of sin is in Romans 6:23. Now, let's take number two here. It says there is a relative perfection, and it's spiritual maturity. Boy, how about that? There are a lot of people in a lot of churches that think because they're up in years, chronological years, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, that automatically they are elders of the church, or automatically they are due some kind of respect. I would suggest going back and reading the Gospels, because in those Gospels, Jesus was on the ones who felt that they were religious in the times. You know what I'm saying? He was on the ones that felt that they, you know, whatever you want to say there, they felt like they were better than everybody else, or they thought they were due a respect that no one else was due, or they thought because they said something that it was automatically right. And there is example after example after example that they were wrong. And I think this is hurting a lot of churches today. You got a lot of people that think because they built a church, it's theirs. Or they think because, you know, granddad donated the land, or Pawpaw donated the wood, or, you know, man, thank the Lord for Pawpaw. But there's you know, your spiritual maturity is what's going to have to carry you through this situation. So beware of that situation, because it's kind of scary. It says here, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So if you're not like-minded and you're not doing the things necessary to see your church grow forward, you're a hindrance. I ain't even going there this morning, but you're a hindrance. So here we go. So we've got to get into this relative perfection and realize that the closer that we seek to get to being perfect in Christ means that the more, okay, we will seek and have aspects of the will of God. I love to read there about the will of God in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, be a living sacrifice. It's your reasonable service. Now, when you say, be a living sacrifice, it's your reasonable service, you say, well, I sure didn't get saved to give up the life I've got to live it for Jesus. Well, if every other sacrifice in the history of the Bible ended up dead, don't you think being a living sacrifice is a little better? Don't you think the concept of being a living sacrifice and having the opportunity, you see, you're a living sacrifice who has the opportunity, okay, to grow to be more perfect like Jesus is, if you live in the will of God. What does that mean? Well, it means God's got a standard even after you're saved. It doesn't mean you can go crazy and sin all you want to sin. It means that God has an order and there is a will of God and you need to follow it. Okay? If you stay in the will of God, Jesus in Matthew 6, 9 through 10 or 12 there gives us the model prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer. He said, pray thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus says, if I'm praying here, pray God's will be done here, because it's definitely done in his presence in a place called heaven. Now, we have free will and we can do about anything we want to do down here. But if you want to be closer to Jesus, I'm saying seek out the opportunity to be a living sacrifice to the Lord. Okay? Love. There is a love about you as I seek to become more and more like Jesus. There is a royal priesthood that is talked about as I seek to become more and more like Jesus. So that holiness that God wants us to have, it's there for us to have because I've already been set apart by God. I've already been chosen out and given a positional preference over all the people who have said no to Jesus, over all the people who have said yes, but then digressed or gotten out of fellowship and never come back. Positional perfection is what the Bible called it. So as I look around, in James 1:4, it talks about there's a patience about a saved person. There is a patience that starts to realize, look, I had big goals. I've told you many times on this program, I've had big, big goals. But the goal now is to see as many people go to heaven in my circle of people as I can see. And I see that because that's why I post this program. It's not about getting money. It's not about collecting donations. It's not about, look at me, how cool I am. It's about me wanting to be more like Jesus, because all Jesus did in his 3-year earthly ministry was tell people how to get to the Father. So that's my plan, is to tell you how to get to Jesus, and Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, and the Father is in a place where his will is always done. So if I want to be there, wouldn't it make a little bit of sense that I might just start studying on that right now? I might just start trying to figure out how to do it. What book would I read? I would read the Bible, a King James Study Bible with doctrinal footnotes. That's what I would read. Now, there is a relative perfection in all your good works. Believe it or not, in Hebrews 13:21, you can read about it. So when I'm doing a good work for the Lord, or something where I'm giving the Lord praise for what's going on, it is amazing. It is completely, fantastically, if that's a word, amazing that God is letting Lunsford do something for his kingdom. It said, go make disciples of all the world. Go and tell the whole world about Jesus. Go and go and go and go. And don't get tired and don't quit and don't retire it. On and on and on. I'm not that age yet, but some people retire in Jesus. And I keep thinking, well, how in the world? Where do I see that in there? I don't know that I see that in the Bible, that it says retire in Jesus. Interesting. All right, where are we here? Every good work. Maturity is achieved progressively. Now, I tell you, for years, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, gentleness, against such there is no law. So for years and years and years, okay, I thought about these things. For years and years. What in the world? Fruit. But think about your apple tree. Grandma bought her son Bill and her son Larry, my dad, apple trees, pear trees, all these trees, and planted them. And over at her house, she had trees planted, fruit trees and different things. She had 3 apple trees in the backyard, and I'm telling you, it was rough to mow over them. But at the same time, man, oh, man. There were always apples, and it came from living through the Depression, I believe, and just being a little bit more frugal. I don't know if frugal would be the word, but just managed everything that she had. But anyway, I say all that to say this. There is a growth period for an apple tree. You put the seed in the ground, the sprout pops up. The tree grows a while before it bears any fruit. See, you and I need to grow as Christians before we're going to bear any fruit. Now, if I don't go to church, and I'm not interested, and I don't want to hear about it, right? Nobody's going to tell me how to live, and nobody's going to make me go to church, and then I get down the road here, and I take a good look back, I'm going to see I missed out. I will see that I missed out on some things. And one of the big things that I missed out on is that I didn't do the things that God wanted me to do. I didn't mature the way that God had me plan to mature, because God probably wanted me to be saved probably between the ages of 10 and 15. I didn't get saved till I was 30. So if you could look at my tree, the fruit of my spirit, the spirit started doing its work at age 30. But if you could look at my tree, I'd probably be like a tree where part of the tree had died because it was never developed. The limbs never developed. I never reached out. I never grew into this area, and I never grew into that area, and I never told this group about Jesus. Now they're too old, and they don't want to hear. And all that time, Jesus was depending on me to go and do it, and I didn't go. Now, I'm saved. I'm going to go to heaven. Well, what about the people who aren't going to go? And I heard a preacher that I really like one time. His name's David Taylor, and he preached on the concept of you and me may very well have to walk the people to the open pit that we should have talked to and didn't. And that'll give us a chance to think about what we didn't do. That'll be heartbreaking times. That will be heartbreaking times, folks. I'm telling you. So, is that true? Can I prove it? No. But just think about it for a second. Now, maturity is achieved as I progress by learning about Jesus Christ. Being made perfect, Galatians 3:3. Perfecting holiness. Okay? See, I've got a gift that the Lord's given me. I'd like to think it's probably teaching. Most people would say, you know, you can teach, but you're no preacher, you know, which, you know, separated or categorize it however you want. But the bottom line is I need to teach everybody I can about Jesus. I don't need to be huffing and screaming and shouting and, you know, crying and snotting. What I need to do is make it so simple a child can understand it, because in every case I see of Jesus giving it out in the Bible, he made it simple to where people could understand it. Even talking in tongues. I talked to a guy this week that talks in tongues, and his thing was, you know, if I'm talking in tongues, somebody there needs to be able to understand it, because if I can't, then it's no glory to God. So I don't know much about that, so you'd have to talk to him about it. So we're accomplishing the things God wants us to accomplish and becoming more and more the gift that God wants us to be going out to others, okay, because we are the perfecting of the saints that's talked about in Ephesians 4:12 as we learn and as we do. See, that should get you and me pretty excited. As we learn and as we do, okay, as we come forward, as we do more and more of the things Jesus wants us to do, okay, see, for the perfecting of the saints. I grow in Jesus just like a tree, just like an apple tree in the yard. It's going to grow. It's going to grow. In the beginning, it's going to put out a little bit of apples, but son, when that tree grows to its full maturity, that tree will produce fruit that matters. I'm 20 years into the relationship I have with Jesus Christ. It's not perfect. I make mistakes. You know, I say what I shouldn't, I do what I shouldn't, I go where, I mean, all the things that people do, the Christian is still doing them. The only thing he's got going for him that's different, that is making him possible to be able to achieve the perfection in Jesus Christ, is that Jesus Christ lives inside of the saved sinner. The seed of God, the seed of the Holy Spirit was planted in me, and he was full go when he got inside of me. Because if I'm with somebody who's a seasoned Christian and that spirit's inside of them, that spirit's walking and talking and doing. Same thing here, okay? Now, we got to progress. Some of us never progress. Some of us never try. Some of us get in there and get saved and say, man, all I wanted was out of hell. I'm so glad I'm out of hell. Now that I'm out of hell, I'm just going to go a different direction, or I'm not going to do this, or I'm going to do that, or whatever it is. Okay? So, the gifts that God gives us in the ministry, Some people care and love and want to help the widows and the orphans, which we're all supposed to do there from the beginning of the church in the book of Acts. Some want to go out and minister all over the world and be missionaries. So, you know, there's all kinds of different ways to serve the Lord. And we're all members of the body of Christ. So there's a way here that we can do things, okay, or that we need to be doing things. Because there's something to be done so I can achieve this perfection that the Bible wants me to achieve. This plan that God wants me to grow into, and the things he wants me to do, if I can be faithful over a few things, he'll make me ruler over many. So what's this thing all about? If we'll be faithful over a few things, he'll make us ruler over many. And the third one, and we'll end with this today, is the ultimate perfection. The perfection in soul, spirit, and body, which Paul denies he has attained. Let me back up here to Philippians 3:12. It says, not as though I had already attained either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. So what's Paul says? He says, I haven't gotten there yet, but it will be realized at the time of the resurrection of the dead. So the ultimate perfection that we will have as Christians is we're going to have a glorified body here. See, the Christian, okay, nothing short of moral perfection of God, okay, we can get there on that moral perfection of God if Jesus lives inside of me. But the absolute standard of conduct, but Scripture recognizes that Christians do not attain sinless perfection in this life. See, we're always going to be making mistakes. It says if we say we have no sin, we lie and the truth is not in us. Well, there's a lot to be thought about there, isn't it? I want you to go and have a great day. I hope and pray that the Lord blesses you in a mighty way, but the very first thing is, let's take a really good look at this and see, do you need to be saved? Do you have Jesus in your heart? Can the Holy Spirit of God work in you? See, the Holy Spirit of God can't work in you till you come to a point where you realize that you need him, where you realize that you're willing to surrender yourself and say, Lord, you know, my prayer was simple. Lord, I don't think I can go on. I think you're going to kill me if I don't get saved right here. And that's about as good as I can lay it out for you. So I hope you have a great weekend. I hope and pray, Lord, that you go to church tomorrow and learn all that you can. Have a great day. God bless.